We say no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
We see complaining used in the United States about every 4 years. Complaining builds allegiances. It is the cornerstone of politics. If someone in one political party complains about something and they get media attention, remember, the media influences people and people are, that's right, power. So the other candidate, in an attempt to steal away the spotlight, complains about something else. The complaint can be about taxes, government, services, crime, the school system, the other candidate. It doesn't matter. The media loves complaints because they usually elicit counter-complaints or arguments which they can cover. Now you've got controversy, and people are drawn to controversy like flies are drawn to, well, you know what I'm talking about. So they stay tuned. Complaining attracts people, and people are power. It's true on the job as well. Let's say, for example, someone doesn't like some new procedures at work. Maybe they think they're too difficult or aren't efficient. That doesn't matter. This person doesn't like the new way of doing things and wants them to go back to the old way. They go in and talk to the boss, but the boss says, "Yeah, I know. The old way seemed to work fine, but we're moving forward." Well, if this person will complain to their coworkers and get them to join in on the complaint, they now have people and people equal power. Enough complaining could get a lot of the coworkers up in arms about the new system, leaving the boss having to either deal with changing things or handle mutiny. It's a sad reality, but in many ways, complaining runs the world. That is, if you consider the countries that have free elections. Complaining is a mainstay in politics, and the purpose of politics is always to gain power. Don't kid yourself. Politics is always about gaining more and more power. The hope is that with power, leaders will do great things for the people, but to do things for people, they must have the power, and the best way to gain power is to upset the electorate. Get them ticked off. The reason's simple. It's a sad reality that the angrier someone is, the more likely they are to vote. Let me say that again. The angrier a person is, the more likely they are to vote. Enrage and engage. If you enrage people, you can engage them. Once you've engaged them, you can influence them. And when you can influence them, you have power. Therefore, the first step in any political campaign is to rile people up. Complaining is what drives politics, which is what yields power. Could you imagine a politician announcing his candidacy, saying, "You know, the last official to hold this job did a really good job, and I think I can do a good job too." This never has and never will happen. It's always about the last person was a crook and a moral degenerate and almost took us to the verge of total collapse. Vote for me. Let me clean up this mess. I can save everything. Vote for me now before it's too late. Now, doesn't that sound a little more like politics? As a politician, if you point out what's going well, no one will want to hear what you can do. But if you can point out a problem, you've got yourself a campaign. You know, I'm a little ashamed to admit this, but during this past political season, I found myself paying more and more attention to all the politics. There was so much complaining. My Facebook newsfeed was like a battleground. It seemed that if I didn't support or oppose this or that candidate, people made it sound like it would be the collapse of Western civilization. Over time, I found myself caught up in politics, which is, of course, the point. The point of all of this back and forth bickering is to enrage and engage. They call it political campaigning, but as you and I both know, it's actually political complaining. If you can enrage enough people, you can engage them in your cause and you gain power. So, what's the key to fending off someone who is complaining for power? First, remember that you have power simply by being alive and that your power is yours to share or withhold. Be wary whom you support. And here's a little story why this is important. Let's say you're new on the job and someone approaches you in the break room. The guy seems really friendly and he points out that there's no healthy snacks in the company vending machine. So he asks you to sign a petition and you think it's a harmless gesture and also a good healthy thing for everybody. Now, as you sign the petition, you think it's a little odd that you're the first name, but you sign. It's a good thing. Later you found out that the guy with the petition is someone who complains to, remember the R, remove himself from responsibility. You remember that from module 2. This dude complains to get himself off the hook from working. There are some people who complain to intimidate management just so they can keep their jobs and do as little as possible. The higher-ups are afraid of a lawsuit, so they leave them on the job. It makes sense to think that these kinds of people would sue you because they complain about everything at work. Well, unbeknownst to you, the guy whose petition you just signed is one of those people. He barely gets any work done and spends most of his time coming up with problems he feels management has to solve right away. He's tried to pull people who are really happy at their jobs into mass walkouts on 2 different occasions. The guy's a problem. He is an ouch looking for a hurt. None of his coworkers can stand him. Management is building a case to carefully and strategically let him go. And you just signed his petition. You were the first person to sign, and guess what? You'll probably be the last. And now people will see you as siding with the troublemaker. I'm telling you this so that you'll remember that when you give someone your support, you are giving them your power. And what they do with that power will reflect back on you. So be very, very careful. Before you lend your support to something or someone, check it out completely. You know, you may think this is funny, but when I'm thinking about doing business with a new company or giving money to a new charity that I've never heard of, I'll Google the organization's name along with the word complaint. Like I said, that's pretty funny from the complaint-free world guy, I know. But to Google the word complaint when finding out information is one of the best ways to learn fast if people are complaining about the company or nonprofit, so that you can either feel good about working with them or steer clear. I remember being approached a while back by a business owner with some services he thought would be great at helping spread the complaint-free message. After we talked, I went to his website, and you know, I decided the company really could help us, and they offered the types of services we needed at a fair price. So I asked them to send over a contract for a trial arrangement. I opened the email with the contract, read it, and I was just about to electronically sign it when something inside me told me to Google the company and throw in the word complaint. Whoa, I was blown away. Dozens of people were talking about how slow this company was in returning customer service calls and that they tended to overpromise and underdeliver. I sent the contract back and I said, you know, I just don't think we're a match. Complaining also yields great power in families as well. Families tend to be their own little power plays with one or more people jockeying for power in the family. But what does that mean? It means people who support their side of a situation. Cousin Bruce might complain about Aunt Maybell as a way of getting you on his side against her. The funny thing is, in most cases, You couldn't care less about the spat between Cousin Bruce and Aunt Maybelle. This is their issue, and to you, it's really not that important. But to them, they feel justified in having you on their side. That's why they might call you and begin sentences like, "You're not going to believe what your Aunt Maybelle has done this time." The purpose is so they feel like you're on their side. It's as if they believe that at some point there's going to be some great reckoning, and the world will finally know once and for all the answer to the most important question of all time. Was Cousin Bruce right, or was Aunt Maybelle right? And honestly, who cares, right? The way to handle people who are complaining to gain power is to refuse to get involved. Be on guard. It's so tempting when someone complains to say things like, "Wow, I can't believe she did that. What can I do to help? Let me know if that happens again. This isn't cool. I'm on your side." And you know what? Sometimes that is totally called for and it's the right thing to do. But watch out, because some people will keep coming back to you with the same issue or even different issues to get you enraged and engaged. A person trying to solicit your power is going to continue until you let them know that your power isn't for sale. This can be especially challenging if you've sided with the person in the past, but the only way to get someone to stop complaining to you for power is to let them know that your allegiance is not for sale. If someone at work comes to you and complains about the new systems and how they would, you know, should keep doing things the old way, encourage that person to speak directly and only to the person who can resolve the issue, your boss. If they say, "I already did," and start complaining, to enlist your support, keep sending them back to the boss. You might say something like, "You know, that's really something I have no control over. You need to talk to the boss." Don't let the other person bait you in. If people you know, be they friends, coworkers, relatives, or whomever, are arguing and try and involve you by complaining about each other, don't get involved. That's the safest thing, so no one gets hurt, you know? There's an old saying, when two gorillas are fighting, stay out of the jungle. So, we've got a magic question to ask people who are fighting for power. It's a little long, but I think you'll get it. Now, try and overlook my handwriting if you would here, trying to squeeze it under. But it says, the question that you want to ask is, it sounds like the two of you have a lot to talk about. Would you like me to arrange a meeting? Let me say that again. It sounds like the two of you have a lot to talk about. Would you like me to arrange a meeting? Now, this is a question that will derail people who are complaining for power. If you're at work and Joe keeps complaining about Mary, you say, "You know, Joe, it sounds like you and Mary have some tough stuff to talk about. Would you like me to arrange a meeting?" If one of your kids is complaining about the other, "It sounds like you and Kathy have a lot to talk about. Why don't you go talk to her?" This truly works like magic. It reminds the complaining person that the issues they have with the other person are their issues. It also draws a healthy boundary that your power is not for sale. This is one of those things that blows me away about managers. They seem to feel like it's their job to handle every problem their employees bring them. It's not. Their job is to create a culture where employees work together to resolve problems. If you're a manager and some of your employees are complaining to you and try and get you on their side against other people, you've got to put everybody in a room and talk. Your job is to make sure they talk nice, but put them together and let them work it out. Don't get dragged into it. There's a story of a sales manager who had two salespeople that were great producers, but who could not stand each other. They were always complaining about each other and trying to get one another fired. finally, the sales manager called the two in and had them sit down across from him. He slowly began to deal each of them playing cards, one at a time, face up. As he talked about how much he liked working with each of them and how valuable they were both to the company, he kept dealing the cards. But, he said, your jealous power struggles are tearing the office apart. At this point, one of the salesmen asked why they were being dealt cards. The manager stopped dealing and said, we can't have that kind of discord in this company. I've got to let one of you go, and I'm not going to decide. So whoever gets the ace of spades has got to go. And then he went back to dealing. The two salespeople were obviously shocked and pretty freaked out. After only a few more cards, one of them asked the sales manager if they could have a moment alone. When he left, the two worked it out, and they never argued again. By the way, according to the story, the ace of spades was on the bottom of the deck. The manager had drawn a boundary that said, my power is not for sale, and I'm not going to allow complaining to divide this office. It was a bold move, but it paid off. This works equally well at home. If you're at a family gathering and one relative is griping about the other, grab the other person and put them together. Use the magic phrase, Uncle Bruce, I think you and Aunt Maybell have a lot to talk about. Anyone can stop people who are complaining for power if they simply draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not stepping over this just because you're upset about something. My power isn't for sale. Remember, you are powerful. You are a powerful person, and you're not going to let someone diminish your power by purchasing it with complaints. So, homework. As always, stay with the complaint-free challenge. Switch your bracelet and always know what day you're on. And the second thing for this week is, I want you to notice 5 times when people, companies, or anyone complains for power. Please post them in the comments box below. Let's all start noticing it. Just look around you. Companies complaining about other companies to reposition them and steal market share. Teenage girls complaining about each other to make themselves look superior. And of course, if this is an election year, you are not going to have to look very far to find people complaining for power. Find 5 examples of people complaining for the pee and gripe, which is power. And remember, both the video and audio of these lessons are released at the same time. Watch the video and listen to the audio as often as you can. And keep an eye on your inbox for lesson number 5. Post comments and questions below. I'll personally answer them all. And connect with our complaint-free community at facebook.com/WillBowen. Hey, thanks for allowing me to be part of your transformation. Until I see you again, remember, to become complaint-free, choose happiness and serve others. Enjoy today. Creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Complaint-free.